John 21, verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take, he undertakes for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we're coming to the next appearance of the risen Lord Jesus to his people. This that we'll be thinking about today is the third time and the third appearance to the disciples. It's not the third appearance full stop, but the third appearance to the disciples. Wonder, do you like to watch westerns? Suppose I'm talking to the men just now. Do any of the men, do you like to sit down and watch a western? I do. John Wayne or whoever. But there's a great film in 1960, The Magnificent Seven. The Magnificent Seven. Yul Brynner, Charles Bronson, Steve McQueen. By the way, Steve McQueen was converted late in life, the actor. Came to know Christ in a wonderful way. Died of cancer, of course, but short time before he died, he was converted to the Lord Jesus, and he lamented, he just regretted as he came to death's door. He just lamented he didn't have time, more time, to tell other people what the Lord had done for him and to be a witness for the risen Christ. But there's a pastor in America, Greg Laurie, who took the baton, as it were, from Steve McQueen and has written a book now describing his story. The King of Cool Meets the King of Kings. That's the title of the book. That's what Steve McQueen was known as, the King of Cool. But he met the King of Kings. Well, Steve McQueen acted in The Magnificent Seven. We come today to John 21. You've got seven people, but you certainly couldn't say they're the magnificent seven. No, not at all. A better title would be the miserable seven. The miserable seven. Here we have seven followers of the Lord Jesus, and they're absolutely, completely miserable. Some people would maybe say, why are they miserable? Do they not realize that Jesus is alive? Well, yes, they do. Do they not realize that they are forgiven? All their sins are forgiven. Yes, they do. But they think that they are now on the scrap heap. In fact, they have put themselves on the scrap heap. He's alive. Yes, our sins are forgiven. But he can't use us anymore. Because we have failed so miserably. We have failed so spectacularly. And he could never use us again. We're finished. We are damaged goods. Yeah, we're on the scrap heap, boys. Let's go back to the fishing. Might as well, with nothing to lose. Do you ever feel like you're on the scrap heap? Well, welcome to the club. Do you ever have experiences, things that happen in your life, and you say, I've really messed up now. The Lord Jesus could never use me anymore. Really, I've really did it now. I've really blotted my copybook. Well, if you do ever feel like that, this message today is for you. Though you might feel that you're on the scrap heap and the Lord can never use you, I have news for you this morning. You're the very person that he wants to use, the very person that he will use. You see, the boy who thinks that the Lord could use him, or the lady who thinks the Lord could use her, I've never messed up. I'm a good candidate for the Lord to use me. Move aside. He will never use you. I'm so glad today that the risen Lord Jesus takes people from the scrap heap. And by the way, he never throws them on the scrap heap. But he takes them from the scrap heap. And in many cases, he has to go right to the bottom of that pile on the scrap heap and pull some believer out who feels that they're damaged goods, and he uses them. He uses the man that nobody else thinks he's going to use. He uses the woman that nobody else thinks he's going to use. It's all because of his great love for his people. Did we not read to the children? In fact, Reese read so well, didn't he? John 13, verse 1. Does no harm to hear it again. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. But what to those who find this, nor tongue nor pen can show. The love of Jesus, what it is. None but his loved ones know. The great hymn, Jesus, the very thought of thee. David Livingstone's hymn. David Livingstone, on one occasion, he said, looking back on his traversing of the African wilderness, he said it was this hymn and these words that kept him going. Bernard's hymn, as he called it. The hymn was written by Bernard of Clairvaux, but he said it was Bernard's hymn that kept him going as he travelled through the wildernesses of Africa and the jungles of Africa. By Livingstone's hymn, he was reminded of the great love of his Saviour for himself. If anything will keep you going as a Christian, that'll keep you going. Well, we find the love of the Lord Jesus displayed so wonderfully in John 21 for his disciples, seven men, miserable, not magnificent. There was nothing magnificent about those seven disciples. There's nothing magnificent about you and me. But I tell you, folks, there's everything that's magnificent about Jesus, isn't there? He's the magnificent one. And he still loves his people today. He loves you and he loves me. And now we're not talking about sentimentality. People today talk about love and they just mean something sentimental. Some gushy feeling. That's not the kind of love Jesus has for you and for me. The love he has for us is the love that will act on our behalf. The love that picks us up when we're down. The love that keeps us going when we're weary. The love that surrounds us and overflows us whenever all the world hates us. In John 21, we have the Lord Jesus administering first aid to his disciples. Spiritual first aid is taking place here in this chapter. And on Tuesday and Wednesday night, I was up at a first aid course. Something that I'd often thought of doing and felt the need to do. But whenever you get something free, then you take it, don't you? So there was a free first aid course for 2 nights. First night up in Clockhaugh in the primary school up there. Second night was in the school up in Brady. And it's something that we're thankful for. It's good to get some kind of knowledge of first aid. But we learned at the course that there are 3 P's associated with first aid. Now, there's an organist down there, Joan's down there, and she knows, I mean, infinitely more about first aid than I do. She probably knows about the 3 P's already. So if anybody keels over today, don't be look. Well, you'll not look at me, but I'll not be running to you. I'll leave it to Joan. But the 3 P's of first aid. Preserve. You've got to preserve life. Person who's been injured or has taken a seizure or whatever, collapsed. Your first duty as a first aider is to try your best to preserve their life. You got to prevent the condition from worsening. Prevention. And then your third duty as a first aider is to promote recovery. Preserve, prevent, promote. Folks, as I read John 21, I see the wonderful Lord Jesus using this spiritual first aid, as it were, to preserve the spiritual life of his disciples, to prevent them from becoming worse spiritually, and to promote their recovery. Hallelujah! Jesus puts them into the recovery position. He always does that. He loves to do that for his wandering people. He loves to do that for his discouraged people, for those who are sick. Do you ever get sick as a Christian? Find the going tough? Maybe somebody here today, you're in your sick bed spiritually. Maybe you've been like that for years. I want to tell you, you've got a wonderful Savior today who knows just the medicine you need and knows just how to administer first aid to your soul. He'll preserve your spiritual life. He'll prevent you from getting worse. He'll promote your recovery. He'll put you in the recovery position. And so that's what he does in John 21. Well, let me come to a few thoughts as we bring our service to a finish today. I want you to notice what Jesus says to his children, to his disciples in verse 5. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. Please notice what Jesus calls the disciples. Children. Are you not amazed? He could have called them cards. Traitors. Rejects. But it's not. Children. Oh, the tenderness of the Lord Jesus. Looking about Ulster today, and a lot of Christian circles, you'll not get much tenderness. But you'll find tenderness in the Lord Jesus. And so he uses this tender term. He calls them children. He quite rightly could have called them cards. Nobody could have argued if he'd called them cards that morning. Nobody could have argued if he'd called them traitors. Nobody could have argued if he'd called them rejects. Because those words describe exactly what they were. But folks, those words describe exactly what we are too. He calls them children. He asks them the question, have ye any meat? The questions of the Lord Jesus are very interesting. He asks a number of questions throughout the Gospels. This is his question, have ye any meat? Please don't think that Jesus doesn't know whether they've got any meat, any food, any fish. Of course he knows. He's the Son of God. He's the eternal Son. He's the creator of the ends of the earth. Of course he knows. He's not asking for the purposes of finding out information. But I'll tell you why he's asking this question. To draw a confession from the lips of the disciples. They say in first aid, when you come across a victim, you've got to try to get a response from them. See if there's any response. And Jesus, the great first aider, he's looking for a response, a confession. Do you want to get back into fellowship with the Lord? Do you want to become strong and healthy as a Christian? Place to start is the place of confession. Mind you, a lot of people today would find it difficult. There's a lot of trouble with it. Sometimes in some circles you don't hear much confession. Last week we talked about the honeycomb. This week, to keep the theme of food and diet, we could talk about humble pie, couldn't we? The Lord Jesus is, this is the medicine in a sense. In effect, he's saying, this will make you better, this will cure you spiritually, if you eat some humble pie and say no, confess, admit, you have no meat, you have no fish, you have no food. Humble pie, I believe, is required in Ulster today. But very few are prepared to eat it. But Peter and his six friends, they were prepared to eat it. And they say no. I'm sure they felt like saying, yes, Lord, we're fine. Don't you worry about us. We have everything under control. But they didn't. They were honest with the Lord and they said no. Confession. Now, notice what Jesus says in verse 6. Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. Now, this incident reminds me of Luke chapter 5. Would you please turn back to Luke chapter 5? And just for a moment or two, let me read a couple of verses and make a few comments. Luke 5. And here is the first miracle of the fishes. Luke 5. At the beginning of the public ministry of Christ, we have this first miracle, miraculous draught of fishes. Luke chapter 5, verse 4. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Wasn't Simon a very obedient Christian? Oh, he was very holy. Wrong. Think again. Jesus told him to let down the nets. Simon said, I will let down the net. Simon Peter dropped that little letter S. He ought not to have done it. Folks, I want to say that there's a lot of people today who are removing parts of God's word. But you can't even remove a letter. Jesus said nets. Peter said net. Oh, there's a change. Woe to the person who drops any of God's word, even a letter. That's why, folks, we have been in this series in recent times. Look what's missing. Parts of modern scriptures that have dropped verses and sections of God's word. And it's a very serious thing. Do you see the trouble Peter ended up in when he dropped part of God's word? What happened in verse 6 of Luke 5? And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. Great, isn't that brilliant? No. And their net break. Ah, Peter, if you'd only done what the Lord told you in the first place. If you'd only let down the nets. Plural. But Peter, he thought he was wiser than God. He thought he was more clever than the Lord. A lot of people still think like that today. They think they're smarter than the Lord. We'll give the Lord a helping hand. The Lord hasn't thought of this or that. We've thought of it. We're smarter than the Lord. Peter was in that category. But nobody is smarter than the Lord. And if you disobey the word of God, and if you drop the word of God, you will be the loser. If only Peter had let down the nets, they wouldn't have broke. But in John 21, as we finish off, it's interesting to notice that the net doesn't break. John 21, verse 11, Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Now he follows the word of God to a T. And the net's not broken. He doesn't drop any part of what Christ has said to him now. And it all works out well. And they take this great multitude of fish. Why did the Holy Spirit record it that there were 153 fish? Why do that? Well, I want to say that the Holy Spirit never does anything by accident. He never includes anything in Scripture by accident. And I believe the reason why he puts this in about 153 fish in the net is because, wait for it, there were 153 species of fish in the Sea of Galilee at that time. According to Aristotle and Jerome, by the way, two great scholars of a bygone era,
two great thinkers, and they have said that it was because there are 153 kinds of fish in Galilee. Every kind, every species was caught in the net that day.
Surely that reminds us of the great day that's coming whenever, according to Revelation chapter 5, every kindred and tongue and people and nation will be taken in the gospel net and will be in heaven. Revelation 7, all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, they'll all be there, washed in the blood of the Lamb. But how did it all start off? With a bunch of rejects. Seven miserable men. They started the ball rolling. Yes, they had their spectacular public failure. Not just Peter, by the way. Everybody, you know, lumps the guilt on Peter, and, you know, he's sort of the leper in the disciples' group. But the other disciples had failed as well. Yes, Peter had denied the Lord, but the rest of them had deserted him. So they're all in the one boat, to you, to continue with the nautical theme. But the Lord took these disciples and he used them. You read the book of Acts, the account of the early church. It's absolutely mind-blowing. The Lord has performed first aid on his children. He's put them into the recovery position. Boys, I've got a work for you to do. Wonderful Jesus.